Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Story Station podcast. I'm Kay McCoy, your host, and today I am very excited to introduce you all to Shariya Nicole. Please go ahead, take a moment and tell everyone who you are and what it is that you write.
Oh, well, hello. I am Shariya Brown. My author name is S. Nicole. I am currently a fantasy romance author. I'm very passionate about representation as far as people of color, especially Black people, and different members of the LGBTQ community. I myself am asexual, so I have an asexual main character in my debut novel, and I'm currently working on a second novel at the moment. So I'm very passionate about that, and I love escapism, all things fantasy, and that's pretty much what I write.
Yay. So how has it been now that you have your first book out in the world? How has that been for you, like wrapping your head around the fact that you've done all the things and now you have a book?
It's been interesting. Of course, all my family wanted to get a copy, which was amazing. And then I am working on getting it into Barnes & Noble and seeing it on the websites and stuff. Like now when I look it up, like it actually pops up, which is kind of crazy to me. And having like other people like post reviews and different things about my work, it's been kind of surreal because it's like, wow, I actually have a thick book. I have a thick book now, and it's pretty thick. It was funny because
that's like two, almost three C's.
Yeah. And when it was funny because when my family ordered it, I had a few members of my family that were like, oh, she said she was writing a book, but I didn't think she meant a book. Because my dad was like, I thought you were going to write like a 40-page book with some pictures over the weekend, and that was going to be it. And I was like, I think I'm writing a novel, like a whole novel. Yeah. And so when it got to the door, everybody was like, wow, it's thick. It's big. It's a book. I'm like, yeah. I've been working 2 years on a book. but it's been a lot of fun.
Wow. You know, I'm not surprised. Most parents and like family members, they want to be supportive. And then when they actually have your work in their hands, they're like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you won't be able to read this over lunch. This is going to take you a few days.
Yeah.
What did she say?
I told my mom my word count. She was, because she had written a dissertation the year before. And so she mm-hmm. knew what it's like to write a mm-hmm. lot. And I was like, yeah, my book is, I told her how many pages it was. And she was like, wow, how many words is it? I said, it's about 162,000 words. And she was like, 162,000? I said, mm-hmm. yes, 162,000. She was like, how do you think of how many words to say? that's what happens when you have a really good plot to go along with.
Ah, so for those who love plot, they are going to be in for a treat when reading this. Or is it more character driven?
The book is more character driven at first. The plot is established very mm-hmm. quickly. And then it's more character driven at first. And then once you get, I'd say about half, I'd say about maybe a quarter way into the book, then it starts speeding up a little bit. So the plot kind of gradually gets added more and more. But I think it's more important that you know and understand the characters and all of their motivations and who they are and stuff, so that when you get to the thickest part of the plot, then you kind of can anticipate mm-hmm. what they're going to do, and it's more impactful when they make decisions that they normally wouldn't make in their everyday life because you know that person by now. So I feel like character building and character work is the most important, because those are the people in your story. If you don't care about the characters, then why would you care about the story, you know? And it's kind of similar to, not my story itself, but the way that I did my characters is kind of similar to Avatar The Last Airbender, the show, because the beginning of that show had so much character work, where they focus so much on mm-hmm. getting to know Katara and Aang and Sokka and building their characters and all that kinds of stuff, so that when it actually came down to action scenes, you cared about them, you wanted them to improve, you can tell when they were making changes and mm-hmm. getting better at things. So I really wanted to kind of emulate that kind of character work and growth in my book. And I've been rewarded for it, because my all my reviews on Goodreads so far, the first thing people talk about is my characters and how well my characters are written and how they feel very human and it's easy to connect with them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love that. As someone who loves Avatar and Hunter x Hunter, I tell everyone, you listen, people, like you said, if people don't care about the characters, they're not going to care about what else is going on. Like, yeah. your characters have to matter. You have to get that across. And it's difficult. Like, what was one of the most challenging parts or aspects of your writing when it came to your characters? Because it sounds like you spent a lot of time lovingly, painfully putting together these characters and their points of view. So what was something about that you found really difficult?
I think the hardest one was my antagonist at first, because I think all the characters that you write are going to have some elements of who you are as a person already. So it's hard to write somebody mm-hmm. who goes against everything you stand for. Because my antagonist, like most of my protagonists and my main characters have, they have good emotional intelligence and empathy, and they understand, the importance of fostering relationships with people, but my antagonist doesn't see the point in that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what drives them to, you know, that's what brings across their lack of empathy in the way that they can hurt people without feeling bad about it, is because they don't care about fostering relationships. Mm-hmm. And so writing that kind of person was hard for me. Cause I was like, how is somebody who, like, I feel like I'm very empathetic. My mom is also very empathetic. So it's like, how do I write a person who lacks empathy? It was hard. But in the end, I was like, let me make this not about me. I said, let me write somebody that I personally wouldn't like to be around. Like, I'm just going to write somebody who I really wouldn't enjoy being around. And hopefully that's good enough to make a good antagonist. So I wrote, like, things that she would say are things that would make me upset and all that kinds of stuff. So I just kind of, like, switched it as if she was talking to me. And then I wrote that down that way. So I had to kind of let her live and become a full person in order to fully write her as the antagonist that I wanted her to be. But I also had to make her sympathetic. I wanted you to somewhat feel bad for her and all that kind of stuff, and see and understand how she could become that way. But it still doesn't excuse her actions at all.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, two things can be true at this same time. You can feel bad for, like, the antagonist, but at the same time, that will not sweep what horrible things they do under the rug. So I love that you were able to find that balance between writing her. And I hope you took some time off after that, because writing for people who are nothing like you in that kind of way can be really draining.
I think what gave me relief was that she does end up in an argument with people who are, you know, unlike her and who care about her, who grew up with her and mm-hmm. things like that. And so when she ends up in that argument, I was able to speak for the person that was arguing against her. And then she was kind of arguing back. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, I got a chance to kind of get some of the weight off. And some of the things that the person she gets into an argument with, some of the things they say to her are out of pocket. But it's like, yeah. So is he. So we gotta match energy somewhere. One of us gotta be willing to match energy. And so I did take some breaks after writing her chapters. So I was like, man, this is hard.
It's like really hard. Like, oh my gosh. But you did it. And now you have this beautiful story that people are talking about, not only on Goodreads, but also on TikTok, where the river meets the soul. So So please tell us a little bit about this story. Because, I mean, you've already told us the good part, but now really give it to us. What can we expect from this read?
Okay, so the way that I sum it up to anybody who asks me, what is your book about? Because I just want to hand them the blurb most of the time. So the book is mainly about a Black girl who goes on a mission to restore a magical flower to save her dying sister. And in order to restore this magical flower, she has to reunite the souls of an ancient mystic and his wife. So they're reincarnated soulmates, but she ends up falling in love with one of the reincarnations. And it is a struggle between her head and her heart as she's trying to decide, do I let go of, you know, trying to control everything and trying to fight to bring my sister back and, you know, focus on the love I have for this new person? Or do I stick with the love I've always had for my sister? Or maybe do I even have to choose? And it's mm-hmm. a lot of internal conflict. And I do have trigger warnings in the description for loss and grief and for terminal illness, because her sister does have a terminal illness. But I think something that's helped me in dealing with loss is that loss is just the feeling of loss and grief is just love with nowhere to go. While that person is here, you have love for them that you can give to them, but once they're gone, you can't give it to them anymore. So you're stuck with all of it. And that's mm-hmm. essentially what I feel that grief is. And the way that my family has dealt with grief, like I just lost my great grandfather, or no, I just lost my grandfather recently, my mom's dad. And but when he passed, it wasn't sad. We got to see him because he had a terminal illness, and we got to see him like 2 weeks before he passed. We got to go visit him, and he was laughing and joking and being silly as always. And we were laughing and joking and being silly as always. And then when he passed, everybody was celebrating his life rather than mourning his death. And, you know, in our family, we have so many funny stories about each other, and we just focus on celebrating the time that we had with that person. And so over time, you know, my main character struggles with, like, it's like she's grieving her sister while she's still alive, and mm-hmm. You know, is trying to find the balance in all of this. And that's really her main internal struggle. But she's also discovering that, you know, at times she has to live for herself, because she's an herbalist. Yeah. And so she's always been giving to others, living for others, helping others with their lives, but she's never really taken anything in return. And so now it's her turn to receive something in return. It's a lesson that I personally had to learn. And so, you know, I kind of mm-hmm. implemented it in this story, but I'm also personally fascinated by the balance that, is in children's media, how they're able to cover heavy topics such as loss or, grief and different things like that, but still keep such a lighthearted feel to their shows and all that kind of stuff, while still covering dark themes, because Avatar: The Last Airbender had a lot of dark themes in it with abuse and loss and trauma, but it still had a very lighthearted, fun energy to it. How to Train Your Dragon dealt with loss and still had mm-hmm. fun energy to it, and all that kind of stuff. And so personally, I all I really take in is children's media, because I feel like we lose a lot of those positive, you can do anything messages when it comes to adult media, because adult media is all dark and broody and all that kinds of stuff. Which
yeah, and it's like, toughen up, do this, only the strong survive. And I think, but what happened to what you told me as a child? I think that's why there are so many adults who are so confused and so angry, and they don't know why, and they don't communicate well with one another, because as a child, you're told these things, and then you reach a certain age, and that's not true. And it's hard because you don't know how to regulate your feelings. And I see media now for children, and like you said, I sometimes just consume more of that than most media for my age group, because it's so heartbreaking. It's like, what happened to the world between like from 5 to like 14? Like, what happened there?
I feel like adding death and, you know, sex and all that kinds of stuff to media doesn't inherently make it more adult, but I feel like that's where we're going, and all the shows are getting darker and darker. But and then people will watch stuff like Bluey, and they're like, I cried while watching Bluey because it's just so sweet and it's so nice. And I'm like, yeah, because that's what you need to focus on. Everything else is getting dark and it's messy. And I feel like you need a space.
Yeah, where even that dark, it's like gory, and it's like for shock value, and it desensitizes you to what really matters too.
The shock value thing is very annoying to me because I'm also a film major in college right now. And so everybody's trying to find stories that are just shocking and, oh my gosh, and dealing with super heavy stuff. And I'm like, what happened to fun movies? Like, why don't we have fun movies anymore? Like, I feel like the most fun movie I've seen recently was Disney's Haunted Mansion and The Blackening. The Blackening was fun. It was just a fun, silly, stupid movie. And I was like, we need more fun stuff as adults. Why don't we have silly stuff as adults? I was like, we need fun. So
it was sweet satire from beginning to end, The Blackening. It's so good.
It was so good. I missed just hour and a half stupid movies. Like, we just need to bring those back. Like,
can we bring those back? I mean, I'm a grown up and I'm still watching Transvania. I'm still watching Transvania, Hocus Pocus. I'm still watching these movies more than I watch like anything else. I think the last, like, I guess, quote unquote, like adult movie, it's graphic. And it's just like, for why?
Literally
for why? You could have told this story. You could have told it with 20% less sex.
When it comes to this book, I really wanted it to be a cozy, like, sit down and just enjoy a loving, healthy romance with, you know, with joy and adventure. And not only is romance is not the only kind of love in there. You have platonic love and familial love, and it's just a very cozy and warm, inviting kind of environment.
Before we go into a tangent, because I can feel it in my spirit, I can feel a tangent coming up. But before, again, I just want to give you your flowers, literally, and thank you for giving us such beautiful and heartwarming storytelling and such just beautiful representation across the board in your story. And for this to be your first, like, I'm sure everyone besides myself, we are all very excited to see what you're going to come up with next. So please let us know. You said you're working on your second book now. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah. But what basically the premise of it is, I wanted to write a friendship between two college age Black men. And one of them is struggling a lot. He's very, and this is also some personal experience of mine, but he's very depressed, and he's struggling because he's a medical student, but he doesn't want to be. His passion's in music. He'd rather do that. But his parents have so much expectation on him that he's been living his life for his parents most of the time. And his best friend has been trying to support him. But the main character, basically, he sleeps a lot to kind of get away from everything. And he has the ability to lucid dream. And one day somebody shows up in his lucid dream and gives him an opportunity to escape life and for a while. And he takes it. And his best friend knows that something is wrong. And he knows what's happened to the main character. So it's kind of a sci-fi fantasy type thing where he goes into the main character's subconsciousness to try to get him back before the main character's soul is fully taken. It's this journey of the main character rediscovering life for himself and the best friend kind of sharing how in the darkness can bring you to light, because the best friend kind of shares how the main character brought him out of dark times. And so now he's trying to return the favor, even if it ends up costing him everything. So it's just a really strong platonic friendship kind of bond, and I'm still doing a lot of world building, but I've decided that after today, I'm officially letting go of my first debut novel and just letting it ride for a while so that I can focus on my second one. And I've just decided that I'm just going to start writing, because most of the time, once I start writing, then the rest of it will come to me. And it'll start to make more sense, mm-hmm. but I just need to get it on the page and stop planning everything. I have all my character sheets written down for my second book. And I have all their backgrounds, all their family, all of their personalities, what they like and don't like and quirks, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm ready. I have all my characters. So I'm just going to shove them into this world and we're going to get running. But it starts out as contemporary. It starts out in our world. And then you go mm-hmm. into this other world behind the subconscious of all of these characters. And then he ends up meeting wow. old friends and struggling with, the best friend ends up meeting old friends and struggling with that connection because he left one of his friends behind. And so now mm-hmm. he has to rekindle that friendship to save his, to save the main character. And so everybody ends up learning lessons and stuff, but and then there is a small like background romance, like a background character has a relationship that's established. Mm-hmm. And I'm planning on writing a novella of that relationship a little later on, which it would all make sense once the story is all written out. But now that I know how to write a book, it should take me significantly less time to write this one, because this took 2 years because I didn't know what I was doing and we had to learn. But now I know what I'm doing part, so it should be a lot easier to write this second novel. So I'm super excited. It's going to be focused on platonic love this time. And I'm super excited about the story. It's been living in my head since I was 3/4 done writing this. The idea came to me, and I literally had to shove it to the side and wait. And now I have a third idea, but I'm currently writing that for my film writing class. Mm-hmm. So whether or not I turn that into a book later, it remains to be seen. If that one gets turned into a book, it's going to end up being a duology or a trilogy, maybe. But right now, I'm just writing standalones. Okay.
Just standalones for now. We'll see once the stories are finished.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that for you. And again, I am so excited. I love sci-fi. So if we can get more representation in that regard for platonic sci-fi friendship stories, I want in. So I can't thank you enough for your work. And thank you again for being here on this podcast. I know you had a lot of other things you could be doing, like writing, and you chose to be here with me. So thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I really enjoyed this opportunity.
Of course. I've been looking forward to it. It's like, okay, next week. And then next week I hear, and I was like, yeah, tomorrow. So thank you. And before you go again, just remind everyone where they can follow you on social media, and then we'll sign off.
Yes. So my social media, my Instagram and my TikTok are the same. It is at S Nicole Author. And it's very easy to find me. And if you, I believe it's also the same thing on Facebook as well, but I'm not very active on Facebook. So you wouldn't really see much from me there. But yeah, just follow my TikTok and my Instagram. My Instagram is also for my artwork and my modeling and all that other kinds of stuff that I do. So if you just want to see all of the artistic stuff I do outside of writing, then you can see that there. But my TikTok is mainly for my novel. So, and if you read my book or it gets to your house or anything like that, feel free to take a picture and tag me on Instagram or TikTok. I love to see people getting my book at their door. I love to see people reading my book. It makes me really excited to see everything. But I don't interact in reader spaces. So if you post something on Goodreads or anything, I will not respond. I don't do anything positive or negative. I don't respond to anything on Goodreads. So make sure that if you tag me, it's just a picture or a review or something like that.
Oh, I love that. I love everything about that. Thank you for putting that out there, because I know a lot of people nowadays, when it comes to reader spaces, worry. And again, that's another podcast for another time. But if anyone's curious about how I feel about that, that is on my TikTok.
Yeah, I have to let my ARC readers know that they can be as honest as they wanted to be, as long as they were respectful. And that was it. So, because I want readers to know what they're going to be aware of. But I was like, if you're not the audience for this book and you didn't enjoy it, that's one thing. But it's another thing if you're the audience. Didn't enjoy it. Like, just be honest and let people know, as long as you're respectful.
That's it. That's all. Well, thank you again for joining me today for this episode of the Story Station podcast. I'm Kay McCoy, your host, and we are signing off. So goodbye, everybody.